I'm Blair Sanderson.
And I'm Ken McIntosh.
And this is the Surf Fantasy Podcast.
Yew!
There's trouble in the water.
Would you let your children swim in this water?
No, for sure not.
Brazil has stepped up efforts to clean up the water, including adding eco boats to collect garbage.
There you go, we're going to Brazil.
Yeah, not exactly an ad from the Brazilian Tourism Board you decided to start the show with this week.
I took those clips, by the way, from media coverage of the upcoming Olympics, not the surf contest.
Well, full disclosure.
I was cheating, you know what I mean? I didn't. In order to find like audio of people criticizing surf venues because of the water quality might be a little tougher, so I just took a shortcut.
You know, there's not too many radio shows about surfing, and that's why it's so hard to find. But there's us, so if you like us.
Is water quality an issue at the new venue? What's going on?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
The new venue, it appears the water will actually be a little cleaner. But I just wanted to remind everyone, please rate and review the show. Uh-huh. Share it amongst your friends. We're trying to build this, get some more listeners. If you want to reach out to us, surffantasy@gmail.com.
Uh-huh. Or the better way, too, would be to get in touch with us through our Clubhouse. So in the Surf Fantasy forum, you know, whatever the page is that we play, it's Surfer Magazine's Fantasy Surf thing.
Yeah,
that's what this whole show is built around. Join the Surf Fantasy Podcast Clubhouse. And in there, you can get in touch with us that way. I think that's those are the only two ways, right? Surffantasy@gmail.com.
I mean, they're the two best ways.
I don't know. You could write us a letter, but I'm not going to give my address. So
no.
That's the end of that.
True. But anyway, getting back to the water quality. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always a lot of talk about the Brazilian event. And I have a little quote here I pulled from our friends at Stab Magazine that, you know, sums up the water quality and a few other issues that are going on over at the contest site. So this is Connor Coffin, who says, "I've been having a really good time here. The waves have been fun. The water hasn't been too dirty, and nobody's contracted the Zika virus. Things seemed on the up and up. I've been hanging out with great people, eating great food, enjoying myself. Other than that, it's been sick here. But seeing someone get shot at a gas station in the middle of the day definitely keeps you on your toes. You just hope you don't get caught in the crossfire."
Oh my.
So there's Connor Coffin summing up his pre-contest
experience. Holy cow. That's exactly like a quote from Full Metal Jacket, the Vietnam movie, where one of the protagonists is being interviewed by the news. And he's like, "Oh, Vietnam, it's amazing here. The jewel of Southeast Asia. I get to meet interesting and fascinating people and kill them."
Well, that's the thing. Like, and apparently that really happened. So Connor Coffin and Carissa Moore watched a man get gunned down on a motorcycle. So he was on a motorcycle. He was bleeding.
Overlooked, actually.
Yeah. He ended up dead on the street. And apparently this happened right behind the main venue site. But wasn't actually the reason that they moved it. So the reason, now they have moved venues from the very central downtown Rio location where you'll remember those huge crowds from the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They've moved it a little bit further away, not because of the gun violence, but because of the water quality.
Really?
Yeah. So they've moved it to a place, it's still a small beach break. It's, it's not like they moved it somewhere where you're going to see a lot better wave. You know, it's a similar wave. Beach break, you'll see a lot of airs, the odd barrel section, but not something you can depend on. But it's also a wave a lot of people that have surfed the contest before would have a familiarity with, because apparently it's sort of the favorite lay day getaway. So it's in a nature reserve that's a little bit removed from the city. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the pros, and it's also the most, it gets swell from three directions. So it's the most dependable wave in the Rio area. So a lot of the pros would go there on their lay days or just to get away from the madness.
If they're going there on their lay days, then maybe it is a bit better, you know, like if they're choosing to go there on their own volition.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're choosing to go there when the alternative is, you know, walking outside your hotel and being mobbed by 100 people. And that's the good scenario. The bad scenario is, you know, getting shot to death on a motorcycle. Don't get me wrong. I love Brazil. You know, I've actually been to Brazil and had a wonderful surf trip to Itacaré up in the Bahia. But then I went to Salvador and my wife and I saw someone get robbed in the street. Jeez. So, I mean, it's just the way it goes down.
Nature preserve is where this is going to be in there?
Yeah, so this one's at a nature reserve, and apparently it's it's a decent wave. The forecast sucks, but, right. You know, that's Brazil for you as well. There's a very slim chance on the far, far end of the long-range models. Slim in the sense that the models so far out, there aren't models yet.
Yeah.
So there's some hope there that the waves will get good, but we're going to be looking at a gravel fest.
Do you mean
fest.
That the hope that the waves will get good is that we just don't know what the conditions
exactly.
are going to be?
And that's as good as it gets.
Right. So it's like, it's crap, 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 and then there's this sort of like blank spot where, who knows, maybe it'll be awesome at that point.
Yeah, maybe we'll get lucky. I'm sure we'll know in a couple of days. But all that's to say, I mean, I'm definitely not picking a Charger, a team full of Chargers.
Does this mean that we have time then, that they're not going to run, I guess, what is it, like Tuesday?
I mean, right? It's Brazil, you never know. You know what I mean? Maybe they'll run it in small waves, run a heat, just to get it over. They may do that. I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, a floater will win the whole contest. Hmm. Crazier things have happened.
By the way, I want to welcome some of the people that joined our clubhouse, right? Because we now have that. And you know, one guy, the guy who is winning, by the way.
Yeah, who is winning? Not us.
The thing is, the whole reason I didn't even want to start the clubhouse in the first place is because I'm doing so terribly. So we have 30 people in our clubhouse. I am 25th.
Ooh.
Yeah, thanks. I think you're 11th. Way to go for you.
Yeah. I got two throwaways already, though.
Yeah. And that's not good. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, you'll have more.
And no hopes for
like
Brazil.
Like, more throwaways.
Yeah, but this is a crapshoot.
You know, one of those is going to be your keeper. The leader is a guy named I Will Effin' Stab You. And so it's spelled I Will.
He is going to do good in Brazil. Brazil's the type of place where a guy like that's going to excel.
He's from Brazil.
Oh, no, fuck.
I should take a look at that. But anyway, and it's spelled like I Will and then F-N and then Stab and then just the letter U. So
well, good on you, mate.
He's, I guess, 11th in the whole – no, he's 17th in the entire thing, right? So this guy's actually looking at Turtle Bay.
He's going after that fabulous prize I promised I'd mail him.
Yeah, that's right, which we're TBA on what the prize is. But anyway, welcome to everybody who came. That's who joined the
– thank you very much.
Super cool. Anyway, so, hey, I got some breaking news for you, by the way.
What's that?
Before before we start talking about this contest in Surf Fantasy Picks, which is the raison d'etre of the show, but it seems like we kind of want to avoid that just because it's not that exciting. I don't know. So a couple of days ago, I sent you this in an email, right? There is this, and I'll just like roll a little clip of it here, this new video that hit YouTube. Anyway, just music for the audio, but it's a video of Gabriel Medina, and he is surfing on the new Samsung
Galaxy. Yeah, I watched
Galaxy,
it when you sent it to me.
Surfboard.
Super weird, eh?
Yeah. What was that?
I mean, for the people on you know, in their cars listening to this that can't see the video or aren't going to take the time to check it out, I mean, it's basically a surfboard that has a touch screen embedded in it, with the idea being that you can, you know, check your texts and you can see emails and you can get instant feedback on your session, all of which I surf to escape. I mean, maybe if I was a pro, I'd want to know how many turns and how fast I'm going. But presumably, if you're at that level, you don't need metrics on your board.
But I don't know. The thing is that I don't know if it provides metrics in terms of what, like, you're surfing. To me, what it looks like is it's just a screen that's hooked up to the internet, and so that people, the way it's pushed in the video is that people from the shore can talk to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so, and then it can also give you weather conditions. Like, I think it's almost that it's only, that it's an internet-enabled surfboard. But I don't know if it's got any of that, like, GPS tracking.
Oh, okay.
That
well,
stuff
maybe
it
doesn't. We'll have to look more into it. But it's interesting that they picked Gabriel. And also, not just Gabriel, but his stepdad, Charlie, is in the ad.
Right. So the thing is, the idea with this whole thing is that, like, someone from the shore, there are two, the way I saw it, there are two things that it can do, right? The purposes are. One is that your coach can communicate with you in the water. So they have Gabriel Medina on a wave, I guess has a subpar performance on the wave. They show him underwater a little bit. And then his cut to his dad texting him and then flashing up on his board. And this isn't a small screen, like the whole front of the board. It's like a foot wide. And the screen says, "Hit the lip with more power," is the message from his father.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad. You know what I mean? Like, what is that?
It's ridiculous. I mean, I think it's funny that they picked those two because his dad is notorious, just like,
yeah, well, he would run into the water,
like,
you know what I mean? He's standing, like, waist deep.
He really is yelling from the beach, hit the lip harder.
Hit the lip harder.
You know, but I mean,
he might as well just say surf better. You know what I mean?
I mean,
like, this is coaching?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that, and there was a lot of talk that Gabriel actually needed to, like, maybe take a step back from his dad and you know, sort of come into his own as his own man on the tour. You know, similar things they said about Kaloe. Yeah.
Sorry, title.
Yeah. Anyway, I won't be buying one, and I'd like to know what the shapers out there have to say about what that's going to do to the flex patterns.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too, is that so it comes in a board that's already made. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that Samsung comes and puts it into your board.
Yeah, and these pros are breaking boards. Like, if you're a guy like Gabriel Medina doing big airs, the dents he's putting in his board.
I almost feel like we're missing something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's something going on with this
because
there's no explanation.
When you sent it to me, you said it hadn't been viewed much. Like, where did you find it? Maybe it's not even meant for consumption.
Well, this is how I found it. our man who wrote and, you know, plays the intro song to this podcast, Doug Barron, has done voiceover work for the commercial of that product.
That is amazing.
It's crazy. So the thing is, I asked him, I said, Doug, is this going to be on radio or TV? Or what? He said, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But he just said, all I know is that I kept talking about how the new Samsung board and get texts from the beach.
So maybe we're actually breaking news here. Maybe.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. The thing is that the video has been seen a couple thousand times, which ain't much in the grand scheme of YouTube. But yeah, a little bit.
Especially because you know Gabriel's dad is like at least 2,000 of those hits.
He's just like, how's
watching
it going
himself
now?
Over and
He's
over
going
again.
Into different computers
yeah.
and trying to bump
Getting
up the numbers a little bit.
Super angry at the people that
but
maybe
But here's something
add.
That can really freak you out. It's possible then that we will be hearing Doug during the broadcast of the surf contest repeatedly advertising this product over and over and over again. Now, I can't guarantee. So this is the thing. This is where I want to put a caveat. I don't know where his voiceover work is going to appear in the commercial. Maybe it won't be. And he only did it a couple of days ago. So I don't know if it's going to appear in this World Surf League broadcast. But anyway.
That's cool, man. Shout out Doug Barron.
I kind of hope
we
didn't get him
local,
in trouble.
Great surfer. Hope we didn't get you in trouble with your voiceover work.
Yeah. But anyway, so, and the thing too, the other thing, by the way, is that this, what the board is supposed to do is allow you to connect with people's social media. So, you know what I mean? Like you would go like hashtag go Gabriel. Like that's in the video, right? That he's like, he'll look down at his board and Brazil is behind you. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is what I really want to be doing or anybody wants to be doing out in the water.
I mean, it's just not going to catch on. I mean, they've had those life proof phones for a while and that's how they were selling them, that people could be taking board meetings while they're in the water. And I mean, I've never, in all the places around the world I've surfed, ever seen someone with a phone in the water.
One thing I wouldn't mind in my board, if there was going to be anything at all, would be just like a little clock.
Yeah.
I could handle that.
Yeah. So here, I have a question for you. What do you, myself, Kelly Slater, and Joel Parkinson all have in common?
I don't know.
None of us are going to Brazil. So yeah, the latest pullouts, Joel Parkinson, who decided he'd go to Karamas in Bali and surf the QS One Star, the Mad Hui Pro, best contest of the year, in my opinion. Love those guys. He's not going to bother going over to Brazil, even though that contest has wrapped up. Shout out to Taj Burrow, won it.
He just decided not to?
Yeah, not going to go.
I think this is, I could honestly see Parkos this being his last year.
Yeah, and Kelly Slater, just breaking news today, not totally confirmed. And usually I'd be a little like reticent to tell our fine listeners here that someone's not going if there is a chance they still might go. Because I wouldn't want to think everyone out there is, you know, switching up their teams and making changes. But really, whether Slater goes or not,
doesn't matter.
Who cares? He's not going to get
You're
any points.
You're an idiot if you put him on your team. Unless he's your dark horse sleeper pick.
Honestly, I got nothing but jokes today because I think the contest is one.
Well, that's weird, though, that about Parko, because in the last contest, when he lost the heat, when he lost his heat, he said that he was angry. You know what I mean? That he said, you know, that for some reason, he felt surprised by the feelings that he was having being out of the contest, right? And at the time, the commentators were saying, oh, this looks like kind of a new Parko. Seems like he's got a lot of fire in his belly. You know, and he's doing fairly well in the world standings. Like, if we take a look at those right now, he's, look at that, he's fifth.
But it may be the
so
case.
So why would he drop out?
Well, this is my theory. Like, Parko's a smart dude, but Parko's like the war horse, I should say, in that I think he just wants to be on tour forever. It's the best way he's going to make money off surfing until he retires and just becomes sort of an ambassador. So with the you know, a fifth, a 13th, and a third this year, he's basically already requalified for next year. He's coming off, you know, it's easy to say you got that fire in your belly when you've groveled through three sort of mediocre Australian contests.
Yeah.
But go spend 3 weeks in Bali and see how much you want to go grovel in Shorebreak.
There you go. You see, going to Bali screwed him up.
Yeah, but really what we should be talking about is why the contest, the WSL, should be going to Bali.
Yeah.
Like, why in this day and age, arguably the best place in the world to be a surfer in terms of variety of conditions, consistency, why do we not have a contest in Bali?
Is surfing popular among Indonesians?
I don't think so.
There's your answer.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of corruption that they'd have to deal with. This is what I've read in the past is what's keeping them going from there. Is like there's a bit of a technology limitation in going live. Although I think that's, I mean, judging by, sure. I mean, the social media of the people that are over there surfing, Instagramming every wave. I mean, there's definitely Wi-Fi, so I don't know about that. But it might have to do with the corruption and licensing and permitting. But
that's interesting. And by the way, just
but I mean, they just pulled off a QS, and it's not like the Mad Hueys are the most organized people in the world.
Yeah, no, it seems to me that the logistics wouldn't be the reason. I don't know. And the thing is, you would think that the Indonesian government would be pushing for it big time, because I mean, that's an amazing tourist.
And there's been an invitational the last few years. Another one, the name's escaping me now, but it's the big left in the Bukit Peninsula.
Was that Thailand?
No, I think that's – maybe I'm getting confused.
I was thinking Phuket, but sometimes people in that area pronounce B's.
Anyway, I'm embarrassed I can't think of the name because it's their most famous wave. But it's a big sort of freight train left. They've been having an invitational.
Really?
Yeah, famously Chris Ward proposed to his wife on the beach after winning it.
What, West Africa? You could go there too if you wanted to or something like that.
Yeah, but West Africa is different. I mean, you can stay in a villa in Bali. I mean, the contest they just had.
Because, they got that figured out.
Yeah. No, I mean, anyway, they should – I mean, I'd argue they should have two contests a year there. Why not? The waves are good.
Here's my proposal to improve the WSL would be they need to drop one of the Australian contests, and then they should have a floating contest that goes somewhere different every year. Yeah. You know, I think that would just be
unknown breaks,
right? Yeah. You know, like, oh, wow, what's this all about? It would be exciting to learn about.
Well, that
about
was probably before your time, but Rip Curl used to do exactly that. They played off their The Search brand, and every year they would sponsor a contest on the tour, but it would move every year.
That's a good idea.
And one of the best contests of all time was at this sand bottom right point in Mexico, where I think Andy Irons might have won that year, if I remember correctly. But it was the most incredible contest. It wasn't on anyone's radar. It's still a very tough place to surf and take photos. And I don't remember the name. I'm forgetting all my names. But that was an incredible wave. Super Tubos, it is now on tour. That started as a Rip Curl Search venue, and it worked great. But you know that they pulled out their sponsorship of that, like we were talking in our last episode, when a lot of the companies stopped sponsoring contests. You know, when the WSL wanted to take all the media rights, and it hasn't been back since. But why not bring it back, Rip Curl? They've relaunched the Search brand this year. They have people on the Search. Why not? You know, why not go to a cold place? I mean, that might be a hard sell, but and you know the waves can be inconsistent. But do something different.
Bring a QS. When are they going to bring a QS event to Nova Scotia, where we live?
Oh my God! Don't even say
please.
It.
Please, I need to get some points. I want to rack up some QS points.
Yeah, well, they're not coming. No, thank you. Go back to New York.
The thing with
Tofino, like the duct tape invitational.
There you go. The moving it around, though, is that I'm sure probably what it is that they just – it's logistics, right? Like they like going back to the same people. They talk to the same municipal officials or whatever. It's just easier for them to do it, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe the first invitational will be at – I mean, while we're just not talking about the contest, have you seen all the videos at a Kelly Slater's wave pool?
Yeah.
And the rumors that might be on the WSL event?
You know what? I'm picking Kenora Igarashi for my team this year, by the way, or for this next contest.
Yeah, me too.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Partially because he was at that wave pool.
Really? See, I'm picking by weight at this point. So I just the lighter, the better. So, yeah, so he's on the team. Yeah. Leo Floravanti.
This is what this podcast is making the crazy pick so you don't have to.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I'm going to – that's the thing. Yeah. I got a crazy one for you too. So are you seriously doing that?
Yeah, no.
I
worked my
way
through
the weights
team
of the surfers?
I don't know their weight to a kilo.
Okay.
But I know that Leo Floravanti and
what is your team?
Run
down your team.
All right. Well, I'm going Gabriel. I'm going Felipe, and we can get into the wives later. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping Italo.
Yep.
And that's when I started picking by weight.
So far you have three Brazilians.
Yeah, so far three Brazilians. Then I'm adding Kanoa Igarashi and Leonardo Floravanti.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping Wilco, ride or die.
Yep.
And then the reason I picked my team is I was really taking a close look at the percentages this contest. Because I think it's going to be such a crapshoot, I figured if it came down to two people, I was going to pick the person that I thought fewer people would take.
Right.
So for my last pick, I still had, like always this year, tons of money left on the table. Mm-hmm. I had about $8,500. And I was thinking Nat Young, just because he had a pretty good run through Australia.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen him perform in good waves. You know, there's a lot
of
beach breaks
in Santa
Cruz. Though.
I think his percentage is up.
But exactly, his percentage is up. So I ended up going with Wiggly Dontas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, on the different fantasy sort of tee-ups where people give their picks, right? Wiggly is getting a lot of positive juice right now. Like, I think that he finished something like 5-13-13. I think he's had 2 13s and a 5.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, is consistently average.
That's the thing. I mean, what I wasn't picking is one of the guys that I think is going to win the contest, but I think he'll get a few rounds deep. He's surprised me in the past. Last year, I got some good points out of him. And yeah, and he's relatively unpopular. So, you know, yeah.
It's hoping for a big win. I've had him throughout, as I have with Italo, but I was really thinking about dropping him. But you bring up a really interesting point, which I think is part of my strategy as well in terms of doing this. By the way, a caveat, I'm not doing that well this year, and I don't want to have to say it every time, so I'm just going to do a blanket caveat over the whole podcast. I know, I'm not doing that well, and I'm giving advice. It's not even advice. I'm just talking about how I like to do it.
Yeah, that's us thinking through our picks, maybe it'll help you know, think through yours.
Little things to pick up on, think about, consider, mull over, whatever. Guiding principles is a big philosophy of mine. I just find that I need something to steer my choices rather than just kind of looking at each individual surfer and thinking, well, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I with each person? So your example is a perfect one, right? You think, you know what? I'm just going to go by weight, you know? And it seems kind of arbitrary and it doesn't make sense in all cases, but at least it gives you a framework to start choosing and then making your picks. And I kind of compare it to writing like a mystery novel. You know, like some people, when they're writing a novel, they would say, oh, well, a mystery novel is so formulaic, you know, that there's a certain procedure in the way that you go through. But authors of mystery novels will say, yeah, but then that frees me up to be creative within that format, you know, that they still say that they have a level of creativity.
Yeah. So it narrows down the choices, but allows you to be more creative within the choices you're making.
Right, that you need something to constrain you. And so I've been messing around with a couple of ideas, and one that I think you might find is really interesting, and this speaks to just how crazy the year is in terms of who's up and who's down. It is possible, okay, to put the top eight almost surfers who are currently, like, in terms of the standings, right? So you got Matt Wilco is number one, Zietz is number two, Ferreira is three, and Dino is four, Ibelli is five, Wilson is six, Jordy is seventh, okay? All those guys can be put on your team. Like, you can afford them all. You can afford them all.
And you could actually make an argument for every one of them why they might do here well. I mean, like, there's been guys like Jordy's done well here in the past, Kaloi's done well in the past, Julian's done well in the past. I mean, Kaio seems to be consistent.
And that's the thing, Matt Wilkinson has, and he did well last year.
And that's another reason that I don't think I'll be taking him off. As long as he's in the world title picture, he's on my team.
Yeah,
and I mean, agree. That's what's great about Wilco. While he's been inconsistent in the past, he's done well. Like, you know, he did well in Chupo on the Code Blackswell. He charged, and he did pretty good.
Yeah.
He's also done well in small waves. He's a good all-around surfer. It's just in the past, he might get two of those results a year. And this year, the question is, has he already had those two results?
So just to finish up on this, though. So the only thing, because I wanted to see if you could actually make a team of all the top guys,
okay. And
you can't quite do it. Once you get to Jordy Smith, Nat Young is next, and you can't afford him.
Okay.
But if you go one down, you can put Ace Buchan on.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I bet there's people out there that might have, because I think Kolohe increased in price after the first contest and maybe stayed there.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the thing is that
him at cheap, it's true. Fit them all in.
That's a good point to add, actually, is that we're working, that's through my team after hitting the revert button, you know, and I've had Wilco and Ferreira and they've both gone up in value. Okay. But even what I've just laid out for you still leaves me with a million. So I would bet that most people who are playing, and I haven't done that well, so I'm guessing, there are probably people out there who could put the top eight people ranked right now on their team. That's crazy.
It is crazy. And in the past, that would have been the type of thing you might want to do. I mean, when you think about your framework for building the team, the traditional framework used to be, you know, how many big value guys can I get on the team? Because they've been like proven success in the past. They have a high seed, so they'll likely take out these no names at the bottom. And then you'd fill your team out from there.
Yeah.
But this year, I mean, you can throw it out the window.
Yeah, because that's right. Because this has nothing to do with the seeds
not showing up.
Yeah, and that's right. That's a scattershot in terms of seeding too, right? That although those guys all kind of seem like maybe they're in the middle seeding wise. I mean, Wilson might be up there a little.
And that's true too, actually, because in the past these wouldn't be the top eight. So it's just a wild year. I mean, that is definitely indicative of just how crazy it is.
That you're able to do that because that's the thing. Because, like, I mean, in the fantasy league, D'Souza is still the most expensive guy.
Yeah, which is super weird.
Yeah.
Did you hear about his snub?
No.
Yeah, no, I have like a Google alert set up for any time anything bad happens to Adriano D'Souza.
How do you set that up?
I'm just joking. I want to invent it, though, because I get so much pleasure out of it.
Negative.
So, yeah, ADS so Adriano's news. Latest problem is that he got snubbed for carrying the Olympic torch, because right now the Olympic torch is making its way through Brazil
in advance of it.
And Gabriel got to carry it. even though he won the world, you know, the world championship.
Yeah, he's not the latest winner.
Ago. I mean, the argument is that he's the trailblazer, which I love because everyone for so long thought Adriano was the person that was going to be the first world champ, put Brazilian surfing on the map.
Well, and he may have put it on the map earlier, you know. I mean,
well, but in like a global sense of being the first Brazilian,
the world champ. Yeah, being the first Brazilian world champ. You know, maybe that, you know, being the because there will only ever be one first world champ,
and it's not Adriano.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. So when you look back through, like in history, like 10 years from now, and you think about, you know, I mean, if it was a Trivial Pursuit question, who was the Brazilian surfer that carried it? You would say Medina, not Adriano.
I mean, if Adriano went on some sort of run, put like three together, he might, you know, be remembered. But as it is, even his own country has just said no thanks.
You think
Adriano,
that they would, you know, they should hand him off?
Don't need you.
I want what you. Can't I want to see. You. I want to see Medina pass it to D'Souza. I mean, it's a big
maybe
country.
There is a height
how much like running are they going to do?
Maybe I don't know.
The torch is so dumb. I just
you don't
can't,
like the torch.
No.
I was a kid, I tried to carry the torch when the Olympics were in Calgary, and it was a contest through a local gas station. And I remember like sitting at my kitchen table with my family as we filled out like hundreds and hundreds of ballots
to try to,
to try
be
to
a
get
person
to carry the torch. Yeah. Didn't get it.
The torch goes out, by the way, periodically. Just,
really?
You know, yeah. Shocking. And the other thing too is that, I mean, it is, it's a, you know, fire is a very ephemeral thing. You know what I mean? It's not like it's always, a fire is never the same. You know what I mean? This idea that it's always lit somewhere. I mean, I get that like it still takes effort
you
to keep
blew
it going.
My mind,
I'm just saying the flame. It's not like there's a flame that's always there,
dude.
Whatever.
You're right. It's never the same flame, is it?
Yeah, you can.
It's constantly burning.
One cannot stand in the same river twice.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway,
see
the other
waves, man. You can't catch the same wave twice.
Except that's why we love surfing, isn't it?
So maybe we should love fire.
All right, you're making fun of me. Forget it. Check
maybe
it out.
Fire is like the elemental representation of surfing.
That's right. Water and fire.
Whoa.
Here we go. Another framework you can do is all Brazilians. How about that for a team?
Hey, man. Too bad Adriano's on it, but otherwise I'm in.
Well, that's the thing. And so the, so with this framework that it you can only get in terms of the top Brazilians, you can only get six before you run out of money because Adriano is so expensive. But if you can fit and then have tons of leftover money, put the top Brazilians all on your team if you drop Adriano D'Souza.
Whoa. Yeah. See, it's like it's meant to be.
Exactly. And that's the thing, because I do want to drop Adriano D'Souza. I mean, the thing is that last year I had him on my team religiously when no one did because he had the heat and he had the passion and he wanted a world title. And now it's just not the same for him. And I mistakenly put him on too much. I shouldn't have put him on.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are interesting scenarios, but have you decided which one you're going to land on, or is it going to be a mix? Or what are you doing?
Yeah, so it's going to be a mix. I mean, the team, another team that I mean, well, why don't we take a look? I mean, I'm kind of leaning toward, it's probably going to be a mix of those two, right? So yeah, maybe the top eight guys going, and maybe and then throwing a few Brazilians. And the thing is, I like Kenora Igarashi. I mean, if you want to take a look, what do you think of Stu Kennedy, by the way? Is it,
See, I mean, speaking of flames, like it seemed his dimmed pretty quickly.
Yeah, he flamed out.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He could come back like that. I think that's a great small waveboard that he's riding. I mean, when you think about, you know, he's apparently he still has the passion. He's an injury replacement, so he gets the points. And he's definitely, he said, you know, he only wants to compete if he's competing against the world best and he wants to be on tour.
Right.
So, I mean, he's going to go in with a fire in his belly. He's not going to be, I think he's the type of sort of, you know, working class grinder who's not going to let a little bit of, you know, gun violence or, you know, contagious diseases or anything like that really slow him down. So I think he could do all right.
So here's the team that I had then. So the thing is, because what's fun about having someone like Stu Kennedy even on your team is you can flip him out for anybody else. So if all of a sudden you're like, forget Stu, I'm going to put Seabass in, you know, that's like no problem to do that because he's also 1500. So, I mean, I would say that, you know what, I'm just looking at his face. I'm going to take Stu Kennedy off. So here we go. My team. Felipe Toledo, Gabriel Medina, Matty Wilco, Kenora Igarashi, Italo Ferreira, Kaloe Andino, Sebastian Zietz, and Chawi Belli.
And Zietz is your alternate?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'll take Stu out and I'll
put
Sebastian.
Oh, so you are going to make that switch.
Yeah, I think I'll make
you.
That switch. Cool. I think I will. You know, what am I going to gamble on Stu Kennedy for? I'll put Seabass in. So my only question mark there, really, is Chow. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing his name.
Kayo. Kayo Abelli.
The thing is, you know what? Here's something I'm going to admit to you right now. I didn't put him on my team earlier because I didn't think he was Brazilian. I thought he was Italian.
Yeah,
that
well,
name
he's not.
Looks Italian to me.
Yeah, no, he's not. Maybe he. I mean,
but he's Brazilian. Yeah.
Leo
right?
Floriavanti is Italian.
Yeah, Floriavanti.
Yeah, so he's Italian.
But you know, Ciao Belli.
I don't think I mentioned this in the last.
All I'm saying is that I would have had him if I'd known he was if he was Brazilian, but he's not. Yeah.
Apparently, Floriavanti's mother dates Belli, who's Kelly Slater's old coach, and that's how he ended up on Quicksilver so young.
Is that right?
That's what I heard.
So. Kelly Slater was banging who then?
No, no. His... So Kelly Slater's, he wasn't really a coach, but he was sort of
his manager. Coach.
Yeah,
coach,
this guy
coach.
Belli that would be with him at all the contests when he was making his run and doing so well is like heavily involved in Leo Floriavanti's life.
Yeah.
And what it makes sense when you think back to when you see him on the beach at Margaret River.
So Floriavanti's mother was dating Kelly Slater's coach.
Is dating Kelly Slater's coach. And it makes sense now because I just thought Belli was on the beach because he's a Quicksilver team manager in Margaret River. Mm-hmm. And he hands Floriavanti the cell phone, and it's Floriavanti's mother. And he's talking to him on the beach before he even does his interview after he beats Slater.
Ah.
But it makes sense that he'd be on the phone with his mom because they're apparently together.
Yeah.
So there's my relationship.
That would make tons of sense.
Yeah. I haven't seen her, but, you know, good on you,
Belli. Oh, man. That's some good podcast right there, buddy. Yeah. Okay. Belli's on. I don't know. So what do you think of my team, man? So what do you think, though, seriously, about Belli? You think he's all right for – because he's hot right now, right?
I think he's hot. He's super dependable. I think he's the type of guy that, you know, worst case scenario, he's probably making round four. And it's onward and upwards from there, depending on the matchups.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get – if the waves are as dreadful as I think they're going to be, it's going to be a bit of a lucky dip, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just – anyone could win anything, but I think
who can manufacture those scores?
And that's I think he can do it.
Yeah, and then what about Andino? Then maybe I shouldn't have him on then, eh? I dropped Wilson for that reason. Wilson's not on.
Yeah, no, I thought about Kaloe, but it just didn't really fit with the team I was putting together, and he's so hit or miss. Like I think Kaloe is like Wilco was in the past, in the sense that, you know, he's good for one, maybe two good results a year.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Right. But isn't this year different, right? This is the year where everything goes out the window.
I can't keep thinking back to the past. You're right.
When we were listening to the last podcast, there was something that I wish I had picked up on. You said it right off the start. And that was, you know, this year it seems like, you know, the best strategy is to pick the guy who you would just love to see win, but probably won't, and then end up winning, right?
Yeah.
Wilco and then Seabass. Like, that's been the pattern so far.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
I mean, looking at your team now, though, is there anyone like that?
Not really. Well, I mean, Andino, right? Like, how close has he come?
Yeah, but I'm not really invested people don't in Andino. Like, I like him, actually, and I think he's a great surfer.
I've come around to him a lot lately. Yeah, I don't know. Not really.
Mustache.
You know who it would be? It would be Igarashi.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. And I think I really could get behind an Igarashi run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the judges like him.
Drop him
the judges like him. The judges like him. You know, I remember when we started this season, he was just in the conversation with all the new guys, and he was getting like the least amount of talk in terms of all the new guys that were on. Then they were like, oh, Igarashi, you know what I mean? They liked him, but they were just like, he's really light, really young.
Yeah.
You know, he's hot, but I don't think he's got quite the chops to make it in the CT, and he's blown it up.
Yeah. And if you think about the way this season's been streaky, I mean, it would almost fit the pattern that he did well in Margaret River. And then he's the unlikely, you know, winner here in
this
Brazil
little.
But I'd say on my team, if I have a guy like that, it would be to bring it back, it would be Leo Floriavanti, because
he also did well
in the Margaret River,
and
I could see him I could see him surprising people, man. He's still a WQS grinder, and he's been doing it now for 3 years straight, doing nothing with the exception of the odd solid WQS that gets held in Hawaii. He's just been grinding it out in beach breaks, and
man, you got me worried now about Andino.
But it'll be interesting. Andino, he's so hot and cold, right? I just don't know.
Everything's so topsy-turvy.
Yeah, it's crazy. But otherwise, I mean, I don't mind your team. Like, I think Felipe is a question mark. Because talking about conventional wisdom, for me, I would never in the past pick someone coming off an injury.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like in MMA,
they
talk
weird,
about
eh?
Ring rust.
That is weird. Ring rust?
Yeah, where it's like if you've been on a long injury layoff, your first fight back, you might think you're prepared.
Yeah.
But you haven't had the experience of actually competing.
Yeah.
And it's going to, you're just going to be a little step off. Your timing's not going to be quite right. And you actually,
and it's been a long time too, because like, this between Margaret River and this contest has been way too long.
Yeah. Well, two full contests plus a month long layoff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since he competed, but there's no one better than him in this type of wave.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what Felipe how was built
and
for.
Think, and he's cheap. So how high do you think his pickup rate will be? Above 80%?
I mean, he's not that popular though, man. So I don't, but I mean, I think it'll go up. So yeah, I think it might be higher than I'd like it to be. I think I'll be surprised because having looked back, even like all we have to go by this year was looking at the first contest at Snapper. And I forget where it was at, but he wasn't off the charts. I mean, he might have been around like 40, 50% if I remember correctly. I think this time you'll probably see him up a little bit higher, but who knows? I mean, the long layoff sometimes catches people off guard. Like there'll be people that have like Parco and Slater on their team. Yeah. If it starts on the first day and they'll just have forgot. I mean, this is a fantasy surfer, keep in mind. It's not, you know, fantasy rocket scientist.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The thing is, I sort of still like my idea of doing the whole, my problem with the top, doing like the top eight guys, like this like really cool scenario that I have on, is that I really don't like Jordy Smith on my team. Otherwise, I'd go with that. Like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Jordy. Yeah.
You know what I should do actually is because I have Jordy Smith, which makes me not able to afford Nat Young. So what I should do is drop Jordy Smith for someone else that I want. So basically put on the top eight guys right now, except for Jordy Smith.
And then
you know?
See
because then
at.
It look and then it looks a lot like my team up here. You know what I mean? There's a lot of duplication. Yeah. I'm pointing. Well, this is terrible yeah. podcast.
Why don't you experiment with a bit and I'll talk a little bit about a dark horse that I have.
Okay. You want me to actually start readjusting my team while we do the podcast here?
Why not, man?
Talk on,
you got
Ken.
Time.
You got something to say?
I mean, you're only
lay
dropping
on
one guy. Drop yeah. one guy.
All right. Okay. Okay. I'll
maybe
drop
this
one guy.
Will inform your decision.
Go ahead.
I got a name for you. All and right. I love, that's one thing I got to say about Brazil. I love the Brazilian names. Bino Lopez. Have you heard about Bino?
Yeah. Well, I've seen him.
You've seen Bino?
No, I've seen him. Well, I've seen him as an option, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's on the list. But have you ever actually
seen
him
face.
Surf?
No.
Okay. He's a little ripper, man. And he's getting
ooh,
some,
he's little?
Yeah. He's a little ripper. He's got some, you know, he's not as young as you'd think someone named Bino is, because I'd imagine he's about seven, but
right.
he's not.
A bambino.
Yeah, maybe. He's not Italian, for the record, because
you
seem to think
you
they
need,
all are.
From now on, you need to start pointing out yeah. who's not Italian, because that's really throwing me for yeah. a loop.
He's coming off a hot QS performance as well in similar waves, in small some small junky beach break. And the word online is that he might be a... He might be a good sort of dark horse guy to pick up as a wild card. He's 1,500, obviously.
You
no, I just don't need him, man.
Too many 1,500s.
I got there's too many. I you can make an argument. You should if you want to mess around with teams, make one the
cheapest
seven
team.
Cheapest.
Yeah. See if you can cut your expenses
start,
in half.
You should like start
half off. Yeah. Half off.
Yeah.
Oh, BOGO. Don't think I haven't thought of doing that. Creating a whole bunch of dummy accounts yeah. and then just seeing like who wins yeah. or whatever.
Hey, dummy accounts, not just so you can make. You know, crazy comments on the message board anymore.
No, man. This is like for serious surf fantasy research, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. But to me, that's cheating, right? I mean, as soon as you start dummy accounting, like no, unless you're going to put money on all those, like I've thought about doing that with the one that we gamble on.
Yeah, I think it would
you
be
know what
cheating
I mean?
It,
to put money on all of them because then you're at least there's some stakes.
Sort of
right?
hedging your bets.
Yeah.
Oh, did
but
you
also,
get
you
our money
lose.
In?
Yeah, I did. All right,
cool.
I
owe you so much money now.
Yeah. Well, hurry up and win a contest, yeah. and then you can
I won one of my clubhouses, actually. I just got the internet money transfer last week, $70.
Pass it on.
Yeah. Tell me what I owe you.
It's coming up to, it's in that neighborhood, yeah. maybe a little lower, a little lower.
That'd probably be the only thing that would take longer
awesome.
Than you readjusting your team on the fly would be to figure out.
Well, I just realized the thing is that what I'm looking at is screenshots. And so I actually tried to click on the screenshot about five times.
You're so organized, though, this week.
Yeah.
I love it.
It doesn't feel like I'm organized.
Really?
Anyway.
Well. Write us and tell us how organized we are.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about before we sign off here? I'm just ready to get this thing started. And what's good, too, is that I think that they're not going to run right away, which is great because we're coming under the wire here in terms of putting this podcast out. And I'm glad that people will have some time to digest it before the contest actually starts.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, one thing, this is an interesting contest where in our part of the world here on the East Coast, because this is the contest that you can literally watch all day while you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
So for all the people that are going to be behind their desk watching the contest, good luck.
It's the best.
Yeah. You know, hope your bosses don't mind and,
You know what else, too? I find enjoy. That WSL makes good radio. Like, I'll often be doing other things, but if I just listen to it, like, I'll even drive and listen to the surfing,
really?
Like, the
broadcast.
What
does it do to your data plan, though?
You know, company phone, sorry.
Oh, gonna have to edit that out.
But... It does. Like, it sounds good.
I'll
like,
be going
if,
over your
like if you're invested, it's pretty cool, actually. The streaming isn't as much money as it used to be, I don't think. Like, I think our data plans are pretty good. It sounds good. You know, like that, because they are. They're talking and talking and talking and talking. Oh, I have something that I was going to bring up with you.
Right
so there's
me.
Some weird things that the commentators have said that I just wrote down. I don't even know if this was in the last contest, but sometimes they say some, like, borderline inappropriate things. I think I even have them memorized.
I wish they'd say more.
Well, one, but they say it, they don't even realize it. Like one of the guys said, he's like, oh, you know, for John, it's more about the Indian than the arrow. You know what I mean? Like, that's a racially insensitive thing.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to say that anymore.
I don't think at least in our part of the world, you wouldn't say. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like an expression that you wouldn't say. What was another one? Then at some point, like, they're like, oh, it looks like he's really hitting he's getting into his fifth wheel. You know, he's really hitting fifth wheel. I think he meant fifth gear.
Yeah, I think probably. Yeah, the commentators got it rough, man.
Oh, and here's another one about Andino. I guess they were commenting about his appearance, and then someone said, yeah, all he needs now is the mustache and a German accent.
I heard that.
Did you hear that? Do you know what I mean? Like,
that was good,
though. And no one blinks. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa, dude.
And I mean, what that is to me is that's a window into like how fun the commentary could be if they were just cut loose. Because you know these are just dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're reining themselves in so much to appeal to this, what I'd argue is a fake audience that doesn't exist, this mainstream surf audience that, like, there's no one, like, it's all we can do to sit through some of these contests.
Yeah.
The idea that
I disagree, though. I like the professionalism. The thing is, I disagree, and I think that's why I wrote those down, actually.
Really?
Like, when
it
saw that, I just thought that it would bother me, but I was like, there's that, there's something that you wouldn't see in another broadcast.
Oh, man.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're like commentators. Like, who's that, like, NBA commentator who said something about, like, oh, yeah, they got the nappy hair, and they fired him. You know what I mean? Like, that's like,
well, that's
boom,
racist,
you're
though,
gone.
You know, I think there's a line where, like, humor.
That's true.
Racism,
I mean, that's the thing. It's not like, that's the thing. Like, so if Andino was German and he had said that.
It's actually interesting.
That would have been.
I did a job board recently, and one of the questions I had to do for this job interview was if a host was to make an inappropriate comment. What would, like, I do?
Right.
And that was sort of my answer, that you have to draw, like, there's certain things like, you know, homophobia, racism, like misogyny, where you'd have to act immediately. And then there's another line where, it might be a discussion. So
right.
I think there is a line there, but I'd like more of the, like, borderline. Just let them have fun, man.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you want to talk about borderline, those are borderline, right?
I got to dig up the contest. I'm sure I've told you about it before. It was a QS in France where they had Jake Patterson and this guy Duma doing the commentary, and they were like talking about gambling. They were drinking beer in the booth, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And immediately afterwards, they both got fired. And they've never been allowed to host a WSL contest again.
There you go. Here's something I want to
fire Pete Mel already. God,
the thing is, I like watching him, even though it's terrible. So the one thing I was going to add, by the way, something that I was thinking about, and this has nothing to do with strategy about fantasy surfing, but I know that when you play fantasy surfer, you're watching and trying to figure out who to root for and all of these sorts of things. And this is really obvious, and maybe it doesn't need pointing out, but it's something that I've been thinking about lately a little bit is that, you know, when your guy loses, you know, a heat, so, you know, your guy advances to a certain point and then he loses and you think, okay, bummer, the guy's out, right? But you might want to just keep in mind that how well he loses matters, especially in the early rounds, right? So that, and the way that they calculate it, as far as I can tell on the Fantasy Surfer page, is that, so if you have the lowest heat score and you lost, then you get the lowest number of points, right? Because there's a range. So everybody that's eliminated in round three gets anywhere between, like, I don't know what it is, like 31 and 40 points,
okay,
let's say. Or I don't know what the range is. Maybe it's like 50 or something. I think it's 31 to 40, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so if your guy had the lowest score, he gets 31, and the guy who lost, who had the highest score, gets 40, right?
Huh.
So even if your guy loses, it might help just pay attention to what his score was. Because you can then still watch that heat and see how the other guys lose. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just gives you something else to, like, watch. You know,
and
like,
I knew there must be something in the formula like that, because it goes back to when I did well a couple contests ago and I got beat out by a guy by 7 points, even though all
this
our
is
people,
what I'm saying,
like, we lost,
they lined
people
up
in the same round.
Exactly.
And I couldn't really understand why.
And the thing
luckily,
is,
luckily, there's someone like Blair Sanderson that got to the bottom of it.
Like, 7 points is huge. Like, if you take a look at the top 100 guys, I bet there's 7 points that are
and
between them.
And it makes sense that they do that, because otherwise you'd have, like, 200-way ties.
Super
ties.
Oh, yeah. Because, there's got to be tons of people who have the same team.
Well, maybe we've been musing about getting
although if that was the case, then that would be it. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, we've been musing about getting the guy that runs the fantasy
surfer. Do we want to invite anybody onto the show? I don't know if it's a good idea.
I think, how could it be bad?
We'll have to block it off. I mean, we'll have to talk
we
about the logistics
actually,
of doing
it. We should actually, if there's someone
it.
We, I mean, I don't know if we could even get them, but if we could get Duma, he's a hilarious guy. And he's in Southern
This is
California.
This commentator
yeah.
guy?
Yeah, yeah. Damien Barron.
There you go.
Barron.
A safe harbor. This is a safe place. We
Yeah,
we
man, come here.
Podcast.
You can say whatever you want, dude. We'll bring back your Duma's Rumors Instagram if you want. Whatever you want.
Duma's Rumors?
That's what he used to do. He had a website wow. called Duma's Rumors, and nice. He had all this insider information, and it would just like put people on blast. But then I think he got like a job in the industry, so now he doesn't say anything.
Cool.
Which is the downfall of most surf journalism, which is fine.
Should we sign it off?
I think we should. I think we'll have a lot more to talk about after the contest, but you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I just, you know, I hope everyone survives.
Yeah. Good luck, everybody, and we'll be putting out a podcast shortly after the contest is over. That's the format. That's why you haven't heard from us for a while, because we do one after a contest and one before. So, by the way, if you want to hear all of our comments on the last contest, Margaret River, that's episode 7, by the way. This is episode 8. So, thanks for listening.
See you later.
Biologist and environmental activist Mario Mascitelli says nearly 400 tons of garbage flow into Guanabara Bay every day.
Yeah.